Back on Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, J.J. Jackson on the program with Brooks Childress, Trevon Reed, Ryan LaVoy, all inside our studios here on South College Street. What we want to do is go to our Auburn Bank phone line and bring on a very good friend of this program, Drew Carter from CBS 42 there in Birmingham, kind enough to join us as he does so frequently. I've been pleased with how often you've been on the program in 2020, Drew.
Well, so have I, JJ. In fact, you know, I'd like to make this a weekly segment. We could get Yingling to sponsor it. We could say soar higher, crack open a Yingling, and it'd be great. Let's do it.
Let's try to make that happen. That's amazing, us game planning on the fly here. So what's also amazing is Twitter.com for a variety of reasons. But I would encourage our listeners to go follow you on Twitter, at Drudel25. The very first time I had you on this program, I asked you about that very handle, and if this isn't true, I believe your mom has been pointing out your handle on Twitter today. Is that right?
So here's what happened. I was actually going to bring it up. We're on the same wavelength here because I know you guys like talking about my ridiculous Twitter handle.
I love it.
So what had happened was today, my mom loves tweeting things at me as if she doesn't have my number or can't, like, DM them to me. My mom loves quote tweeting things and sending them to me that way. What happened today was I got a notification from a random guy named Andrew Mercer in which he said, I think you were looking for at Drudel25 with the smiley face emoji. This sends me down one of the most hilarious rabbit holes I've ever seen in my life because it turns out my mom had tried to tweet at me, but she just tweeted at Drudel and she left off the 25. And so I responded and I said, hey, Andrew, like, sorry about that. Mom, this has been my Twitter account for literally 8 to 9 years since middle school. What are we doing? How do you not know my Twitter handle yet? You always try to tweet stuff at me. So then, this is where it gets good. Andrew Mercer, at Drudel, slides into my DMs. He sends me, I'm not kidding, guys, 6 screenshots. He goes, this explains everything. I've been so confused throughout the years. All the screenshots are my mom tweeting at him, trying to tweet at me. And this goes back to, like, 2017. It's some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry for the confusion. My mom is not great at the Twitter machine, but this is hysterical. And he was a good sport about it. That was probably the funniest thing that happened to me today.
And moms are the best. I know we're giving them a hard time, but I want to give a shout-out to my mother who listens to the show every single day when she doesn't need to do that. Being an accountant, she's got way more important things to do, like taxes and the IRS and yada yada, whatever. But is this not where you just go, hey, mom, like you were saying, Drew, text messaging works too. Like, we've got a handle on that.
I mean, there's so many ways, JJ, to text or send via DM or screenshot, whatever. But I'm worried that if she tried to text it to me, she would just leave off a couple numbers, like leave off the last 2 numbers of my phone, and it would just go into the void. Like, the text would get beamed up to the satellite and just go nowhere after that. So really, there's no good way. She just needs to, I guess, write it in a letter and mail it to me.
Oh, he's one of our favorites. It's Drew Carter from CBS 42. This guy's money in the bank. We do need to make this a weekly sponsored deal. So, Drew, let's do this. We talk Auburn a lot, rightfully so. We are in Auburn, Alabama. We are in the 334 right now. So I want to ask this, though, because a huge college football thing happened over the weekend across the state. First play of the game in the Alabama and Tennessee game. Unfortunately, Jalen Waddle suffers a season-ending injury. Auburn knows good and well about Jalen Waddle after his 4 touchdown performance last year in the Iron Bowl. He's going to be a top 10 pick. The dude is electric. His highlights are, if you're out there and you're an NFL mock draft enthusiast, I would say just get lost in Jalen Waddle highlights forever. As someone who's covered Alabama football and you've spoken with Jalen Waddle in press conference settings and that sort of thing, what stands out to you about him off of the field or just something that folks might not know about him outside of those highlight plays?
Yeah, JJ, well, I mean, I'll start by saying, you know, it just breaks your heart that he broke his ankle in that game, and it's such a fluky injury, and the whole thing happened so fast. It was crazy, you know, not just the injury itself, but there we are at halftime, and a visibly shaken Nick Saban is saying, yeah, he's out for the year, like point blank, and we were sitting there like, what? How did this possibly happen? You know, obviously, I think we've all seen it by now. He takes it out from 3 yards deep in his own end zone, gets tackled at the 15, snap, breaks his ankle, and he's done for the season. We saw him leaving in an ambulance in the second quarter, I think, and it was just amazing how quickly it escalated, and your heart hurts for the guy. It just really sucks. Luckily, the prognosis is very good, which Saban said earlier this week. It seems like he'll make a full recovery. Of course, not this year, but hopefully sometime in the near future. You know, there are a lot of things I'm thinking about this injury, and one thing I do want to say is I saw the coach take a little flack for mentioning that, you know, you're not supposed to bring it out of the end zone when you're that deep. I don't have a problem with him saying that at all. I think he wouldn't have said it if it were a different moment. I think he was pretty torn up about it. I mean, Nick Saban really cares about at least some of his players. I think he cares about all of his players. I know some people would probably scoff at that because they would just say, oh, you know, he wants them because he can win so many games and make so much money. But, like, he did this with Tua last year. It seemed like real emotion when he was talking about how much he loves Tua. And it seems like the same thing with Waddle. Like, if you watch that halftime interview, he was visibly shaken, and it makes sense why he loves the guy so much. Obviously, he's an amazing player. You know, I think he's one of the best players, if not the best player in America, regardless of position, given everything he does for that team, returning punts and kicks. Such a good wide receiver. You can use him in a variety of ways. He's such a good player, but he is also an electric person. You know, I mean, you've seen him in press conferences. He doesn't necessarily give you, like, two-minute-long answers that are reinventing the wheel, but he's always smiling. I've actually never seen him not smiling, aside from when he suffered that devastating injury. And then a few hours later, one of the other wide receivers posted an Instagram story where Waddle was, guess what, smiling, even though he was in the back of an ambulance. So, you know, he's just a great guy, it seems to me. He's a fun guy to cover. He's obviously super fun to watch. It just sucks that he got injured. And that being said, Alabama, you lose arguably the best player in the country. They don't miss a beat. They still scored almost 50 points against Tennessee. It's one of the best offenses I've ever seen. The team is going to be fine, but it just sucks for Waddle.
Drew, over here at Auburn, obviously a couple of very controversial calls that have been favored by
really?
The Tigers.
Really? I haven't heard about it.
I was about to say, I was going to lead in and say, you're in Birmingham. The SEC office is in Birmingham. What have you heard from them?
Yeah, guys. Well, it sounds like you've all sent your checks to the SEC office here in Birmingham, everyone over there in Auburn. It's funny because that's the joke that Alabama fans make. Like, everyone make sure you get your checks in. You know, it's almost past business hours. Get them into Birmingham. But, I mean, so far, like, legitimately, guys, Auburn, I think we all know Auburn could be 1-4 if a couple calls don't go their way. I did kind of like what Gus said today, I think it was, or maybe yesterday, where he said, hey, listen, you know, we had a kickoff return called back, okay, and that's just the way it is. And he's right, you know, like if the Bigsby kickoff return doesn't get wiped, we're probably not even talking about the Shivers kickoff return that wasn't. Now, given the situation, obviously it's easy to say, okay, if that ball did touch his finger and Ole Miss does score that touchdown, the game's probably over. But we're talking butterfly effect stuff here, guys. And you have no idea what's going to happen if those calls go the opposite direction. It's the same thing in the Kentucky game in the season opener. You know, everyone wants to say, oh, well, you never know what would have happened if they had given Kentucky that touchdown. Well, actually, I think we do because Auburn dominated them in the second half. All right? Well, you never know what would have happened if Bo Nix's spike had been ruled a fumble. Well, they blew it dead. All right? So, like, what are we doing here? Auburn is 3-2. I know the calls were controversial. I love Lane Kiffin. I love watching him go after the SEC just in a shameless fashion. Gets fined for tweeting. Proceeds to tweet about 1,000 times about the fine. Like, when is this guy going to learn? But I hope never, because it's really entertaining for everyone who covers the league. But, yeah, I mean, yes, Auburn has gotten very lucky on a couple of crucial calls, but a football game is 60 minutes long. There are about 150 plays in total in an average game. Let's relax with that they should be 1-4 because they're 3-2, and that's all that matters.
You've been working on the Gus voice a little bit.
That's just the way it is. You know, we won the football game.
It started to come out there in the answer, and I was like, that's pretty good. Like, that is definitely some practice, I would imagine. It's Drew Carter of CBS 42 joining us here on today's program. What do you have for us, Drew? We're always asking you the questions. What's the number one thing you want to know from us?
Do you guys think Auburn's going to win this weekend? Because I don't. I want to hear your thoughts.
I think they do win. I really do. I think that Auburn started to figure some things out this past week on the offensive side of the ball. And I really like the way Kevin Steele schemed up that defense, wanting to limit the number of possessions that Ole Miss had because that's such a high-powered offense. I feel good.
I felt good before I watched LSU play South Carolina, and then I got really nervous.
Hey, they're pretty good, man.
So it's like it's like it was last week for me. I thought it could go either way. I thought a couple point line one way or the other was fair. And I told the guys, I'm like, after the Auburn-South Carolina game, I said, I'm not picking Auburn. I don't care. I picked them against Georgia. I look stupid. I picked them against South Carolina, the turnovers. I'm just going to not, and if I'm wrong, good for me. So I don't know. I'm 50-50.
Yeah. It should be exciting, man. I don't know. I mean, I've kind of been banging the drum all year that LSU isn't as bad as we thought in week one. I think guys were kind of ready to just write off week one as a total fluke with that Mississippi State game. I mean, based on what we've seen from Mississippi State so far and really what we've seen from LSU ever since, I think that was such an anomaly. You know, LSU is a team that's been, I said this on our show Saturday, they have been, in the last 4 years, their average recruiting ranking class is lower than eight. It's like they have the seventh or eighth best recruiting class in America on average. So I know a bunch of guys opted out. I know a bunch of guys got drafted. They don't have Burrow anymore. Whatever. They're still ridiculously talented. You know, their starting quarterback goes down. They bring in a guy who looks like he's 2 inches taller and better than the starter in the first place. He's a former four-star recruit. He's from the state of Louisiana. And I think he's pretty good. So, you know, I'd be a little nervous if I were an Auburn fan about this game. But it should be fun, man. 2:30 on CBS. It should be a lot of fun.
So, Drew, today they announced that College Game Day will be going to Augusta National, which is insane to think about. Obviously, a Masters in November was insane in the first place, but it's 2020 and the year dictates it. So, I don't know. It seems to me, I don't know about you, but that's a really exciting and I think great decision by College Game Day. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Dude, I'm so stoked. It's my favorite crossover event since iCarly, Drake and Josh, Zoe 101 did a crossover together. And I mean, that was a powerhouse, but this is even better. I mean, Lee Corso with the headgear at Augusta National. Do you think they'll even allow him to do that? Because I know they're pretty stuffy at Augusta.
They do.
I wonder if that goes against the dress code, but I'm sure they'll let him do it. So that's going to be a ton of fun. Like, you know, when that scheduling announcement was made that the Masters on CBS were going to lead right into LSU Alabama, you know, you saw a few tweets about Jim Nance tossing from the 18th tower to LSU Alabama. That is going to be one of the coolest moments in sports history. And I think it's even amplified by the fact that College Game Day is at Augusta. And hey, credit to ESPN too, because, you know, like you said, it makes perfect sense for the year 2020 to be the year that College Game Day gets wicked creative and goes to Augusta National. I mean, who would have thought that that was ever going to happen, that they're going to be live from the Masters? I'm so fired up. It's going to be a total blast, man. So that's going to be incredible.
It's Drew Carter, CBS 42, joins us very frequently. We need to make it happen more often. Follow him on Twitter, @Drudel25. He's got great tweets. I wish you would tweet more, Drew, because I'm always sitting there laughing at what you send out there. Including, let me ask you about a tweet that happened 9 days ago. Here it is. Let's see if you can remember this. Describe the graphic that was on your television screen when you tweeted this out. The evolution of NFL offense in a graphic.
Dude, I was dying at that.
I can't. That's hilarious. Thank you for tweeting that out.
For the folks at home, on the broadcast of the Jets game, and to call it a game is charitable. It was really more of a scrimmage for, I don't even know who they were playing, but the other team was just running it up on them. Joe Flacco was starting for the Jets at quarterback, which, again, I mean, what are we doing? It's 2020. Joe Flacco is starting in the NFL. Absurd. But they put a graphic up on the screen where it showed that Joe Flacco was about 200 yards away from passing one Joe Montana on the all-time passing yards list. And the guy behind Joe Flacco right now is Johnny Unitas. So, if that tells you anything, it tells you that NFL offenses have come so far. I mean, not just since Unitas, obviously, but even since Montana. I mean, even since the 80s and 90s. Like, teams throw so much more and so much more efficiently now. It's just crazy. And that single graphic actually changed my mind on a point of contentious debate between me and my friends lately. I've been arguing for a while that Matt Ryan is going to get in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying he deserves it necessarily, but I am saying he's thrown for more than 50,000 yards and like 400-something touchdowns. Whether you like it or not, he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. When I saw Joe Flacco above Johnny Unitas and about to pass Joe Montana, I don't care about raw numbers anymore. It just doesn't matter because that tells you everything you need to know. Joe Flacco, for the majority of his career, has been suboptimal. Yeah, he was elite for about a month, one season with the Ravens, but aside from that, he's been suboptimal. So I don't even care about the raw numbers anymore, and I thought that was a hilarious graphic.
But Drew, I mean, he's about to pass Joe Montana. I mean, there's just, I mean, come on. The top 25
all
time.
Is he a Hall of Famer? Is he a Hall of Famer?
First ballot.
We got to ask the question here. Give him a bust in Canton. You know what? I could play quarterback in the NFL and probably throw for 35K, and I could get a bust in Canton at this rate. It's ridiculous.
Drew, we almost had to postpone this conversation with you this week because the entire Auburn community, the Auburn fan base, was quite sad on Sunday evening when one Mr. Kool-Aid McKinstry decided to commit to the University of Alabama. You were there. What was that environment like?
Well, first of all, you kind of had to know that was coming.
Oh, we knew it was coming, you know, 100%.
Yeah,
yes.
The writing was on the wall. But I will say, I mean, the event itself was amazing. You know, it was everything you expect from the number one cornerback in America, top 25 recruit, best player in the state. Auditorium was pretty packed. You know, everyone's socially distanced, of course, unless they were with family, and a lot of families were there. It was really cool to see the community kind of rally around him. And I actually had to adjust the settings on my camera because I knew the roar when he put that Alabama hat on was going to be so loud. I wasn't trying to blow anyone's eardrums out. So I had to – I usually keep everything on auto because I'm extremely lazy. So I had to take it to the manual setting and manually crank down the volume to about 0.1% of its maximum just to make sure. And it turns out I was right because – still was extremely loud when I listened back to it. It was really cool. And, you know, you feel good for the kid. You know, he's obviously incredibly talented. He works really hard. But I thought the coolest thing is that his mom and his grandma were flanking him at the table. They were sitting right next to him. And both of them started cheering and crying when he picked Alabama. So I know Auburn fans don't want to hear it. They wanted Kool-Aid. But it was just cool to see a guy. And he said, by the way, he said after he put the hat on that he has been an Alabama fan his entire life, and he couldn't have said it because he was getting recruited since he was a freshman. Now he can finally say he's always been an Alabama fan. You feel good for the kid. I was actually shooting it for CBS Sports HQ, if you were watching the live broadcast. A couple of things fell through, so they gave us a ring here in Birmingham and said, hey, you know, we're kind of scrambling here. We need someone to shoot this. So I said, sure, yeah, I'll go do it. This will be fun, and we can do it for CBS 42 as well. And I was so nervous because I didn't want to blow it. I mentioned the audio. I just didn't want to blow it. This is this kid's
moment.
That's big time. He's been waiting for years. Well, yeah, and so I was sweating up there. First of all, I was on the stage. The rest of the photographers were on the first level. But I was like, I have to be on the stage because if I'm not, the broadcast is going to look horrendous. So I'm up on the stage. Everyone's looking at Kool-Aid. I'm just trying to, like, shrink and stay out of the way. I'm a pretty tall guy. I'm 6'2", 6'3", so I'm like just trying to be as small as I possibly can be, like sweating bullets, making sure the audio sounds okay. Luckily, I think it sounded fine, and he got his moment, so I was excited for him.
And the dude's going to play football and basketball.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to do that. I mean, best of luck. He's crazy talented, obviously. He's very athletic. I think he's clearly a better recruit for football than basketball. But what his hoops coach said to us is, you know, it's going to be very difficult to play both those sports at that level, but, you know, if anyone can do it, it's Kool-Aid. So, I honestly, man, I know Auburn fans, again, don't want to hear this, but I hope it works out for him, and I hope he plays in basketball. I don't think he's going to be a star, necessarily. He could be. He's crazy athletic. I think he will be a star in football. I just want to see him give it a shot. I want to see him suit up for both, because that's pretty rare at a place like Alabama.
That'd be amazing.
Well, see, my question is, because we've seen this happen at South Carolina before, Bruce Ellington played football and basketball. But I hate to be like this, but there's a clear difference in South Carolina and Alabama in that Alabama's going to play an important game in January most years. And
yep,
I don't think right. Nick Saban's going to be like, yeah, play basketball during Christmas break and then come back to the team for Final yep. Four prep. So, like, you've already cut off your entire non-conference season, and then you're just going to ask him to play – you know, the 17, 18 games conference that he's going to be eligible for. I don't know. Like, it feels like he's missing so much of a chunk of basketball season.
Yeah.
It's just hard to catch up at that point.
Yeah, I would agree, and that's why I think it's going to be really difficult. Now, the interesting thing about this whole thing, guys, is the story around Birmingham is that Jameis Winston wanted to go to Alabama, and he wanted to do both. He wanted to play baseball and football like he did at FSU. and Saban said he couldn't play baseball. Now, I'm not confirming that or reporting that. That's just what people say. That's like the story,
sure.
You know, the old wives' tale in the city. Because Jameis is from Birmingham. And apparently the same thing happened at Auburn. Apparently it also happened with Gene Chizik. And so Jimbo, being Jimbo, was like, sure, why not? You play both. I mean, as long as you play football, I don't really care what you do in the spring, as long as we get you to Tallahassee. And we see how that worked out. So I thought really the only way that Kool-Aid didn't end up at Alabama is if Saban did that same thing with Jameis. Granted, I don't even know if it's true that that happened with Jameis, but if it is, I think he probably learned his lesson. And he wasn't going to tell him no. You just do what you want. As long as you're with us from, let's say, August to early January, I don't care what you do for the rest of the year. Just play football here.
Fair. And word here in Auburn was that Bruce Pearl was like, absolutely, we've got a spot for Kool-Aid McKinstry to be on the basketball team. And if Bruce is wanting you, good things tend to happen. It's Drew Carter from CBS 42. Last thing, the name Kool-Aid, that's incredible, Drew.
It's amazing. I love it. It's one of the coolest nicknames I've ever seen. He says he got that nickname because when he came out of the womb, he was smiling. And so his grandma looked at him and said, you're like the Kool-Aid man. And it's stuck ever since. It's such an amazing story, and it really fits him. He also, that's not his only nickname, guys. He also goes by Glizzy, which I think I'm allowed to say on the radio.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that I'm too old for. You know, I'm 23 now. I'm too old. I don't understand the Glizzy thing. I don't understand if it's a good thing or a bad thing. If it's just a hot dog, why is his nickname Kool-Aid Glizzy? I'm trying to figure it out, but we know Kool-Aid, and I understand that.
That's good stuff. Drew, what's next for you? Where are we going to see you again? What tweets are coming in the future? I mean, we just got to know what's on your radar. I'll see you Saturday inside Jordan-Hare Stadium for Auburn and LSU, but let our folks know what's going on with you.
Yeah, well, I'm fired up because we're back on the road. You know, I've been in studio for the past couple weeks on our Saturday shows. The lovely Simone Eli is back in studio this weekend, so I'll be on the road going out to Jordan-Hare Stadium. You know, I'll give the listeners a peek behind the curtain. And JJ asked me where I'm going to be this weekend, Bryant Denny or Jordan-Hare. I said the Superior Stadium.
Let's go.
Jordan-Hare. So, and I love the environment there. Should be crazy for Halloween. Should be a lot of fun. You know, we talked about the game. Should be pretty evenly matched. Every time Auburn plays, something ridiculous is going to happen. So I'm pretty stoked for that.
Drink a Yingling for us. Enjoy the rest of your day, Drew, and I'll see you on Saturday, okay?
I'll drink several. See you guys.